heard of them.
All right, ready to go.
All right. Ready? All right, like we're going already now. That's how we like to start it. What's up, everybody? Welcome to It Could Be Better. If you notice that it's my voice instead of Giannis, it's because Giannis is not here. Is it because he's on the road? No. No, it's not. Is it just because he's at home? That's why he didn't show up. So now it's me, as always, Chris Laker.
Hey, everybody.
And we have filling in for Giannis and Frankie, the very young Pat Dixon.
Thanks for having me, guys.
We're big fans of you, Pat.
I appreciate that.
Pat's a Tennessee guy, too.
Yeah, I am. I grew up in Chattanooga back in the 70s.
Back in the 70s.
I want to point that out right away. Yeah, I'm a Tennessee guy.
Yeah, so now you're here. So this is fun. So this is actually better. We'd rather have you, because now we actually have some credits on this cast. Let me tell you what. I'm tired of carrying the weight of Giannis. His only credit was him doing extra work on the Chappelle Show.
Ah.
So.
Yeah, you're
loaded right down with the credits. He was right up front in that audience. You saw him.
He was dead up front. He's not here, though. I don't know. He told us to call him, but we're not going to call him because I think there's no reason to.
I think you're going to break down and call him before the end of the show.
I'm completely fine with not calling him. I mean, yeah, probably because there's just no, it's going to be just a lot of dead air. So I'd be like, I guess maybe we should call him.
Well, Giannis talks a lot.
He's a big part of this because he's a gabber. He's good at keeping the show moving. But, I've missed one podcast, and it was the last one, and it's because I was on the road. And technically, I could have made it. Giannis has missed two, I think. We did some when he was in Sweden or wherever,
right,
wherever he wants to move to because he hates America. But the we had the MMA guy, he was late too and didn't show up. And now this one, he just said, you know, I've got stuff going on, I can't make it. We told him last week that we were doing this. We have, the nice equipment again.
Yeah, no.
It's actually going to sound good.
We have Marcus Engineering.
It's real deal stuff right here. We're trying to step it up a notch.
And then Giannis fucks up and doesn't
come in. Giannis doesn't show up.
You know, Giannis actually did my podcast the other day, the New York City Crime Report. He was awesome on that podcast.
That's what yours is, the New York City Crime Report?
New York City Crime Report, yeah. It's all about crime that happens here in New York City.
Is that the one you did today, too?
Yeah, well, I did. I got two, actually. I did that one today with Trey Gallion, and I also did an episode of Don't Rush Me, I'm High.
All right.
Which is with Chris Laker.
Which is going to be your new show also here. Are you doing a show here? May 24th.
Don't Rush Me, Am I? Yeah, May 24th here at the Creek.
All right, so come out to that. No one's listened to this, by the way. But you still do the Bob and Tom stuff?
I was on today. Yeah, I do something now called – I used to do movie reviews. That was the whole idea. Now, I did movie reviews for years on different radio stations, and I would do them. I would go see the movies and talk about them. And I think it was when I saw Miami Vice – that I decided I'm not going to come to the movies anymore because they're horrible. So I kept doing the reviews, and I noticed that I could do the reviews without going to the movies, and so it became an unbiased movie review, which is what I called it, which is you review the movie without actually seeing it because it ruins your objectivity.
Which is, I think, just the greatest idea in the world.
And I did it for a while, and then I got tired of that, so now I do a news thing.
I saw a guy doing that. I told you that on the road. I saw some I don't know where – I forget where I was, but I saw a guy. He was doing, like, movie reviews without going to see the movie. And then I was like, huh, funny.
You know, I can barely understand what you're saying there.
Nate overdipped, everybody.
I overdipped on that one.
You totally overdipped, man. You sounded really
this one,
full of dip.
Yeah. It was a lot. I got
sound
excited.
Like King of the Hill for a moment.
Is this – we're better now.
We're doing a movie review.
This is what –
you couldn't –
Is it better now?
It's great. Yeah, barely.
Barely understand me?
Now, who was doing that? Because that was my idea.
Oh, I don't know. Just some, like, you know, terrible comic, like, somewhere.
Yeah. It's not a threat. I don't do that anymore anyway.
Well, I'm glad to be back here because I missed the last podcast, which, I listened to. It was fun, I guess. Fine. Got some cheesecake. I barely listened to it, too. That's how much not a fan of this podcast, to be honest with you. I would never.
It was a decent episode.
It was good. I listened to it, and then they called. I felt good about my appearance on it and on the phone, but because I was gone, I did right when I got back from Iraq, I had to go do a cruise, which said you have not done one of these.
No, I haven't. I haven't been to Iraq, and I haven't done a cruise.
Oh, well, let me tell you. I'm basically trying to not perform in America. Like, I'm trying to get out of the business the way I'm going.
Bullshit, Nate. Come on. You're having a great year. What, you just won funniest comic in New York? That's something,
that
right?
That was last year, though.
You just had some sort of a television thing, right? You just did a Comedy Central special, right?
Yeah.
So you got heat from that.
Yeah.
You're soon heat to appear is, on Conan, perhaps. Yeah. That's some heat.
Yeah. Heat is what, if you know, I don't know if people know what heat is, but it's like if a comic, I guess, got people talking about him.
That's what people say about a comic when everybody hates that comic.
When every comic hates that comic?
Yeah, they say
when they're doing
heat.
Well and you don't know why, you say, oh, he's got heat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And you're the same comic you were in 2009, basically.
Same one.
You just got heat.
Same
now.
Material.
Just got heat. Same material.
Yeah. Exact same material. Still doing that church basketball honor system joke.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which you've been doing how long? Forever?
20 years.
I mean, Christ.
I don't know. When we started?
Recite it.
74?
Verbatim.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a good year for you. So you're not trying to get out of the business.
No. Well,
How was the cruise? Where did you cruise
to? That's what I'm saying. Well, that's why I'm trying to get out of the business, because I'm on these cruises. Oh. And I got a cruise agent now. So she'll try to, like, she wants to really get me to do some of them because, you know, she gets commission on it. But, like, I don't know. After this last one, it was, like, pretty bad. Because the first one I did it, it was with Tim Young, very funny comic from here.
Yeah.
So it was cool. Kind of know him. And he's, like, a New York comic. So I felt, like, good because we were both the kind of, you know, doing jokes and stuff. And this one I did with this guy, Mootsy.
Oh, Mootsy.
Do you know Mootsy?
Yeah, from New Orleans.
Yeah.
Mootsy.
Unbelievable guy. One of the nicest person I've ever met in my life.
Yeah?
Yeah, great guy. I don't know if you have beef with him, but
I have no beef with him. I worked with him a long time ago down in Biloxi at Casino Magic.
Yeah.
He was the MC of the show, and I was middling or something, and it was, like, I don't know, 2000, something like that. And
yeah.
He was down there doing that, and he was very well known. But he does, you mentioned having a beef with him. You know, he has a feud, sort of some kind of ongoing feud or something with some of the other guys from New Orleans, I think.
Really?
Maybe Sean Patton, if I remember right. I could be remembering it wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that they definitely
is
know
Sean
each other.
Sean owe him money? Probably.
I don't know.
Joking. That's a little inside.
Did you ever get your money back?
No.
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 Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. I can see why Sean's feud is.
So how did it go with you and Mootsy on the cruise?
Well, he murders. He goes up, and like you do five shows. So when I get on, I fly to Jamaica. I get on the back half of these people's cruise. So they're like, we're in the sea for 2 days. So they're done. They're done, like, walking around the boat. They get it. Like, they're bored. So they go to every show. Hmm. Now, you're supposed to do 30 minutes clean, 30 minutes dirty. I really don't have dirty, but I just, like, you know, I just separate it. So I was doing one clean show and two different dirty shows. So I do that, and then I do the final, like, the clean show was just the same again. And I do the final dirty show. I was excited about this show. Hmm. I was going to do a kind of a best of. Really do the stuff I want to do, you know. I was excited. 30 minutes will be fun. There's like 400 people in the room.
Yeah, that's great.
Sorry. This is a real, I got to get my life again. So so I go to do it. I'm riding the elevator, taking it up, pretty excited. Sitting there, got my hat on. And this guy next to me starts talking to a girl that's on the other side of me. They talk over me, and they start talking about the comedy show. So I kind of like, oh, gosh. And then I sit there and I hear the guy go, yeah, that one guy's awesome, talking about Mootsy. Mm-hmm. And then he goes, the other guy was like half asleep. Never watch him again. And I'm just in between them. And I just have to accept it. I see his wife like hit him because I think she realized that it was me.
Uh-huh.
And so then I just got off on whatever floor the next floor was and just went to the show. Then I go do the show. I start my set and no one laughs. Two people leave. So then I go. I do a couple more jokes. Nothing, dude. I mean, complete silence. Oh, 400 people in this room. Complete silence. And then I go, all right, what's going on? And then they go, and I was like, have y'all seen me before? And then they go, yeah, we've all been to every show. And then that's when I just go, well, that's all I got. I'm not Mootsy. I've been doing comedy for 25 years. I got nothing else. And then I just say, all right, well, I guess we'll figure out where everybody's from. Let's see how far back we can get before the half hour's up. And then I just proceeded to do that for
How did it go?
30 minutes. It did not go good. Uh-huh. But it did not. It was like, I mean, you know.
It probably went better than doing your material to no laughs for 30 minutes.
Oh, yeah. People would have been mad about that.
See, you know, it seems like even if they've seen it before, you know, like that they're going to kind of like still like, you know what, I've heard it once, but I'm going to deal with it, you know, whatever. But they just completely know.
It was like they had my CD in their room. I didn't have a CD, but it's like they recorded it, listened to it all night in the room, and just knew where everything was going.
God, man, it's so brutal when you go up thinking like, oh, okay, big laugh coming right up. This is going
to
be good.
You know where it's supposed to be.
And then nothing. You know, every time I hear about – I've never done a cruise. Every time I hear about somebody doing a cruise, it's some humiliating experience. And then the worst part of it is if you do bad, then you still are on the same boat with everybody who was in the show. Like you said, they've all walked around. They're at the show. Now you got to be on the boat with them. And they're looking, they're like trying to like not make eye contact and shit. And
I went the back way to my room that night. There's a way you can go. You walk through the crowd. I went – because that's even the worst. It's like to the very back, though, you still have to walk through the crowd. Mm-hmm. So, like, when you don't do good, then I have to walk through them and be like, excuse me, I'm just trying to get – hey, I'm sorry. Hey, yeah, I'm just trying to go back to the – so you just end up doing that for 20 minutes till you get to the back. And then – but then people stay for Moochie because Moochie advertises. He does 5 different shows. So – and he's funny. He does – you know, it's like – it's perfect. He has a flashlight. He shines them on people. Like, people love it.
I remember that. He had a flashlight he would shine on people.
Yeah.
I've seen – there's another guy who does that trick too. That's a
– they do like a deer. The other guy does a big deer light, like one of those big hunting lights.
Oh, that's the white guy that talks black, like Redbone or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Redbone.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You have that great story about
the
Redbone.
We did Whitest – I didn't do it. We this is a great story. So they filmed Whitest Boys in the Hood. Showtime was doing a special. It was Dustin Chafe was on it, Big J, Metzger, Kurt Metzger.
Joey Gay.
DiStefano. Joe DeRosa. So we went back and just hung out, like, in the green room. They had this guy, Talent, hosting it. He's like a big black dude that does radio here or something. He's big known for radio. So he's hosting it. One of the funniest parts, Screech was on it. So he's back. Screech is back there.
Mm-hmm. Diamond.
Dustin Diamond. And the thing about Screech.
I was loving that we were just going with Screech, though.
Yeah.
Well, I think you give the man the proper respect. He's a fellow comedian.
He's not, though. He supposedly steals jokes.
Wow. Okay.
And I've heard he has. And then I heard someone else say that someone opened for him and they did jokes. And he was like, he's really big, like, don't do. He tries to tell the opening act what not, you know, you can't do that. You can't do that. He doesn't want the opening act to do well. Because he's not going to do well. Mm-hmm. And so he's not a good dude. And his girlfriend was there. But he's kind of hung in the back because he was with a bunch of bigger comic names there that he couldn't. Like, you know, when he's on the road and it's a middle and it's you and him and he's got people coming to see him, he can push you around more. Mm-hmm. But I feel like in New York you could tell he couldn't push around these guys. So he kind of just stayed in the back. And people started just trashing him. At one point, he went on stage, they started just trashing him, and his girlfriend's just sitting there. We didn't really realize it was his girlfriend, so she just has to sit there as, like, everybody just trashes him, and she's just sitting there, so that was kind of bad.
Well, what do you expect, you know? I mean, you go around treating people like shit, and you're Screech.
Yeah, I mean.
Obviously, people are going to shit on you, you know what I mean? That's just what gets
done. Well, his act's terrible. If his act was good. Like, there's a guy, Theo Vaughn, that was on The Real World, actually a really funny dude. Really funny guy. I think so. Like,
I've never
and so people like
guy.
He's a guy you think you're going to hate because you're like, ah, he's this, you know, real world guy. He's just trying to do comedy now, mm-hmm. and he's going to be terrible. But he's actually really funny. So then you're like, all right, I like that guy. So, but with Redbone, it's this white guy, red hair. He goes out. He basically murders because he just does, like, you know, this whole white act. Like, I grew up, I lived in black neighborhoods and all this crap.
Right.
So. He goes up. I don't even remember the whole story, but in the back, he's telling me, he's like, he's just trying to be friends with me. He's like, yeah, everybody come around. Like, we have, like, everybody wants to have cash. He said, we don't use cash. We use debit cards, nigga. And he said it like that to me, like, backstage. Like, just all white people were like, what? Like, we got debit cards. That was his, like, big joke he's using back there. But, you know, Rocco? Rocco's like this guy. Like, he used to have long hair. He's got short hair now. He works at, like, clubs and stuff. He's a great guy. Him and Mike Vecchione are there. And the whole time during the Showtime taping, talent was telling them that he was like, I'm going to get y'all on. Like, it was just a show. This is a taping. But he was like, it was just like a show he does on a Friday.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to get you on. Come hang out. So he kept bringing them upstairs, and like, he's like, just stand by the curtain. I'm gonna get you on the show. It's much. They're paying people. There's like production. There's all this.
Yeah, there's a union involved. You can't just bring people on.
So, but it was funny just to see them. They constantly had to go just hang out by the stage, thinking they're going to get a spot. Like randomly, be like, oh, how'd you get on Showtime? I was just hanging out, and then they just grabbed me, and I got on.
Uh huh.
So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's a nice Redbone story. I don't know what he's doing now.
I'm sure he's doing well.
Can he get the
one name, guys, you know, you got Talent, you got Mootsy, you got Redbone. People like one name. It's easy to remember.
Yeah. Dude, Mootsy, these people, they loved him. I would have some people come up and, like, you know, they're like, hey, man, great job. You know, I'd have a lot of like, yeah, great job, dude. I know, you know, the crowd was tough. They do one of those.
Yeah, those are worse when you actually do pretty good. You know, when you're actually kind of happy with what happened and people go, rough crowd. I liked you. I did pretty good.
It's because you can't, when you go up there and you start saying, man, y'all are terrible, and then they laugh at it, it's kind of like saving stuff where you make jokes about like, oh, that joke didn't go that well. And even, you have a good set and then people come off and go, oh, yeah. Sorry, the crowd. You're like, no, I just said that. You're just saying that because I said that on stage.
Right.
You don't really think the crowd was bad.
I guess we expect them to see through the whole situation.
We
right?
want them to get it.
Yeah, but they don't get it. They'll never
They don't get it. They're never going to get it.
What other one-name guys? I was always telling, what's his name? You know Dave Waite?
Yeah,
he should be Barkley.
Yeah.
Yeah. If he just came out and was Barkley, I think he'd do better.
Yeah. He'd blow it up.
Yeah. One name. Just come out and be a character. Hey, I'm Barkley.
He's the guy with the big beard.
He's a big beard. Was he up for best beard in the Lakers?
He was in the mix, I guess. I don't know. The nomination process kind of is a little different because I'm the Academy.
All right.
So I kind of just decide on who it is.
Now there's...
So he probably passed through my head.
You're right. There's a lot of beards in comedy. There's that tour, The Beards of
the
Comedy.
Beards of Comedy.
And it almost seems like it's a whole genre of comedy. It's not just that they have beards. It's a type of comedy that people with beards do. You don't do it.
No.
But there's a certain kind of comedy that is just like, I got a beard, and I kind of say, you know, it's almost like there's not jokes, but they just kind of like say shit in a funny way here and there. It's a very bearded guy thing to do. It's very modern.
I saw a guy once that had a ponytail, and he used to always do ponytail jokes, and then he got it cut.
Mm.
So now he had to just tell people, so I used to have a ponytail, and then he would just continue to do ponytail jokes. It was the greatest thing I've ever seen. That's my favorite thing to see, is when someone has a joke about whatever they look like, and then if it changes, instead of writing new jokes, they just go, well, I used to be real fat, so, and they go into a ton of fat stuff.
Yeah, we need the visual.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it doesn't work. I knew a guy who opened, he was a red-haired guy with a ponytail, and he'd come out and say he was Opie Seagal.
Yeah.
And then, like, he was like, God, if I cut my hair, I can't use that anymore. And it's like just that one laugh just to get it in. It's so deeply ingrained to do
that
it.
That is good, though.
I saw this chick last night. Opie Seagal. Right. That's gold. This lady on stage goes, are there any Mets fans here? Nobody claps. She goes, oh, really? No. And then somebody kind of distracted her for a second. She goes, well, usually about four people will clap, and then I'll say, oh, you're all here. And she did the joke anyway, even though she didn't get the response.
She should just say, oh.
She's like, imagine a moment where four of you were Mets fans. This is what I would have said.
And she should just say, if no one claps, go, oh, so you're all here. Like,
right.
There's no Mets fans.
That would have worked.
That would have worked.
Yeah.
That could have worked better.
Right. It would have been a fun thing.
You could always go, you're all here.
Yeah. God, I didn't think of that.
People, you don't ever even have to ask the question. It drives me crazy because some comic would be like, anybody see the King speech? You mean none of you have seen the King's speech? Not one of you. Oscar-nominated movie. they go on and on, but nobody. And then they tell the joke anyway. Just tell the fucking King's speech joke don't even open it up.
A bunch of us saw it. We're just fucking with you.
But it's just like, so who's in relationships? Who's in this? Just tell you're going to say the same shit after that question.
You get an audience that senses that sometimes, and they won't answer anything. You ever have that? They just will shut up. You talk to them directly, and they're just like,
They don't want to be a part of the show.
They're spectators. That's it. We're not going to interact.
That's how I would be.
I have that effect on people a lot.
I would be like that as an audience. I don't want to talk.
I'm not here to entertain you or help you with your act. Do your jokes. Yeah.
I don't like either when like shows go long and people go, like people would stay for the Chappelle stuff, which is pretty long, but crazy long. He does like 8 hours. And then they go, well, they should just leave. It's like, but I would be a guy that would stay because I would feel awkward and I'd feel like it'd be rude for me to leave. So I think it's your job as a comic to be professional and have a good, quick show. Don't make people leave. Don't just do comedy and be like.
Can you start from be a professional? All right. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure to not lose half.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We good?
Yeah.
So I go now?
Yeah.
Can you start with, I was on a cruise?
Yeah. Be a professional. start with, Giannis not here. Oh, be a professional. Now I feel like we're out of the moment.
Right.
That's a great line to have the hiccup on, though. Be a professional. Okay. Hey, could you go back to the be a professional part? Because our podcast messed up when you did be a professional part.
We had a little technical difficulty, but yeah.
Hey, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, that's fine. We keep it real, though. We don't cover it up. We say we had technical difficulty. You know, today's very calm. This is a more soothing podcast without Giannis. I feel like
it is.
Soothing is not a good thing necessarily when it comes to
podcasts. I'm not saying it's a good episode. I'm trying to point out the good qualities of it.
Right. Well, I mean, do you need me to act more like Giannis might act?
I mean, if you want to.
Because I could try that.
I mean, if you want to replace Giannis, since you're here doing 5 podcasts anyway.
Yeah.
And just, just add this to the roster.
Right. You mean permanently replace Giannis?
Yeah. I mean, you could think of this as an audition.
Except
really.
You got to change the title from It Could Be Better to Okay, Now It's Better.
Oh, yeah. I'll go with that.
Would that work?
It Just Got Better.
Just Got Better.
This is the You Just Got Better podcast with Pat Dixon.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I forgot what I was about to say. I don't
something about being a professional.
No.
How was Iraq anyway? I've never really wanted to go there.
It was Iraq. I think we talked about Iraq.
You've done it a ton, right?
4 times, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's good.
Is there any danger left there now?
No, they're all shutting down. It's all like, I mean, they're still like, that's what doesn't make sense because they're still shooting. Like, they're still kind of putting like mortars and roadside bombs out.
Mm-hmm.
But you would think like if you're the bad guys of Iraq, I'd be like, all right, if we're all leaving, how about you back off and let us leave? And then you can just have free reign of what you want to do.
That's what's going to happen anyway, right?
Yeah. So why do you want to keep – you don't want to – it's almost like they're trying – it's like someone – like, are you trying to keep us here?
Well, it's all this biblical prophecy that's coming true. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And if that's going to happen, they're going to have to fucking keep fighting. You're aware of that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know it's Armageddon.
Yeah.
I figured you did.
I think I have a few antichrists in my head. Giannis is one.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm really close to one. Giannis is antichrist. I'm good friends with him.
You don't seem too troubled by that.
No, because he won't show up. Giannis will be late when he's supposed to come do whatever Antichrist thing he's supposed to do. He's supposed to come down.
Duties.
Yeah, his Antichrist duties when he's supposed to come. And he gets everybody. Because, I mean, look at his characters now. He's got all the Greeks. He's got the Puerto Ricans now with Morisa.
And the gays.
And then he's also going to get, why Sean? So he's getting the Wiggers, I guess. Or a great Kurt Metzger joke. He asked a guy in the audience, and he goes, what are you, a Wigger? And then he goes, well, I'm not going to say African American. It's one of the best jokes. I thought it was so funny.
Well, I was wondering about that. Is Wigger still a thing?
I think
Somebody told me that once Eminem won the Oscar, that was it.
He won the Oscar?
Did he win an Academy Award or something?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know. Eminem's great. There's a great video about Eminem coming, like when he comes out and to Rihanna, he does that song with Rihanna. So during Rihanna's concert in L.A., he makes a surprise appearance. It's one of the most amazing things that people go nuts. Like, you can't even hear him rap because it's like they're going that crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like that's the thing that I don't think we're ever going to feel as comics.
You're
like,
right.
Like, you know, and you'd want that, but you're not going to get that kind of
rock star
like
shit.
Chris Rock or Dane Cook or Dice.
Now, when I opened for, what's his name, like Larry the Cable Guy or Ron White and stuff like that, I worked with those guys a few times, and they had that kind of response, you know what I mean? And Larry the Cable Guy would stay and sign on everything that these people had. And I mean, one time it was like 16,000 people. I mean, it's nuts. 16,000 people is a lot of people for a comedy show.
How good of a guy is he? He's a great guy.
He's a great guy. I mean, like, when the last time I worked with him, I think he kind of knew it might be the last time. He's like, hey, man, here's a little something, you know, and he just put some money in my hand. And I looked down. And I was like, oh, cool, $50. You know, that's awesome. You know, he handed me $50, you know, and I went back onto the bus. I was looking at it, and I got back at what the transportation was. And it was like $500. Oh, he just handed me $500 out of his pocket.
I was about to be shocked with 50.
Like, I mean, yeah.
Realistically, you'd be like, $50, dude. You're like a...
That sounds like a lot. It almost sounds like more than 500 in a way, doesn't it? Just to see that $50 in your hand.
I worked with John Panette just this weekend. He's got... I mean, do they go nuts? I didn't realize he had that kind of fan base. He does a great... Like, you go out, you do your set... a comic we know, Tim Crompier, he opens for him, I guess, a lot. He goes out. And then when I walk back on stage, I hear him clap for Tim, and then I hear the clap get crazy loud and people start screaming. So in my head, I thought, man, they really like Tim. As I get up there, it's getting louder, and I go, maybe they really liked me. Maybe it's me coming. And then I turn and look, and John's, like, behind me. And then I'm like, oh.
Yeah. Carmen said the same thing. She worked with him at Caroline's, and she said she was introducing him, and he was already, like you said, he was on his way to the stage. And just,
which is great.
It was just like the Beatles or some shit.
Yeah, which is a great way. I'm glad he comes out like that, too, because I'm not good at host. So I don't like, because when you host, you got to do a lot of, like, you know, if it's someone you don't know, like if it's someone that doesn't draw, you have to do a lot. Are y'all ready for your headliner? Come on, everybody. You can make more. I can't do it, and I hate it.
Yeah.
So with him, he's just like, say, please welcome John Panette. And I love that he walks out. So when I get done with my set, because usually when you host, like, hosting can be draining because you got to be there, especially if it's like sometimes at Caroline's, like, we're hosts, like, the bringer shows, which a bringer show is like, you know, if you're just starting out and you got to bring 10 people to perform or 5 people, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So those, they're all doing 5 minutes, but it's their first time on stage. So they might do 8-10 minutes. They might do 1. So you kind of just got to be there, like, constantly. And then everybody gives you, like, a ridiculous intro, like a lot of them. Mm-hmm. You know, say I'm the funniest guy on Main Street.
My favorite is when you have a guy who's like, say that I was on Def Comedy Jam and BET, and he gets a white guy and he gives you all these credits, and that's the joke, is that he walks on stage and he's white. I mean, how many times have you seen that?
I've seen it. You want to go, so I got to do your first joke? I got to start. You can't just go up there, man.
Yeah.
None of them. It's tough sometimes with these bringers. Like, cause it's like, you know, how much we're into comedy and we talk about comedy. That when you get someone that's just starting out, when they don't know. But I was that guy. I remember, like, I remember hearing about Brian Regan. I remember I was in Chicago just starting, and my dad heard Brian Regan and told me about him. And that was, like, the first time I didn't realize, like, a guy could be that funny, and I didn't know who he was. So it's like you knew, like, Seinfeld and Cosby, but that's it. But then once you get into, like, really watching comedy, you realize, like, man, there's a lot of guys that are really, really good.
Yeah, yeah, tons.
That no one knows.
I remember starting in Chattanooga, and I saw some really funny guys, you know, and these were, like, you know, people like Mike West. There was some guy, I mean, like, just kind of like nobody that you know of. There's a guy named John McClellan. He was really funny. I don't know where these guys are now. And we saw Dave Attell show up. This was in 96, so he just kind of was off Aspen, and it was like, wow, it's just fucking, like, the first time you see the Ramones, you know, just, like, blew the top of everybody's head off. And it was like, this is incredible. I didn't really know who he was.
No. People don't. I mean, I think people know who he is now. Like, they obviously do. But he's not, you know, I mean, it's not like Dave Chappelle.
He can walk down the street.
Yeah.
And he's fine.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, which I'm sure he prefers. But
I bet he gets recognized quite a bit. But yeah, not, he does. I'm sure he doesn't get mobbed.
Yeah.
Probably gets a lot of look. I was talking I'm not trying to name drop, but where I was at Eastville and Todd Berry was there, and we were talking about, like, people that we saw on an airplane, like when you fly. Yeah. Like, I flew once with Paul Giamatti. And
now, when you say you flew with him, were you
just
on the same?
Me and him. We were just on the same flight. Yeah, he was in first class, obviously, and I was in the back, but he was just on it. But we were talking, and I asked Todd, I was like, do you get it? And he said he gets, like, a lot of, because I would imagine, like, Todd is, like, a guy that, like, comedy fans are going to really know who he is, and then other people might just be like, because he was in The Wrestler, And he had a pretty big part in The Wrestler.
Yeah, big part.
So you get a lot of, like, people just staring at you, and you can just feel it, you know? You can just feel people just staring, going, like, who is that guy?
But people saw The Wrestler, but it wasn't, like, Avatar or whatever. Yeah. But it was still huge.
It's huge.
Absolutely huge. So I could see that, yeah, but people just staring at him. Or when they hear him talk, you know, he does a lot of voiceover stuff.
What if you're – what are the Avatar characters? Were they weren't real people, right? It was all CGI?
Well, I just was saying that a lot of people saw the movie.
But they were real people and then CGI.
And I'm
imagine
pretty,
if you're
yeah, I'm pretty sure if you were a blue guy, people would be like, I know you from somewhere.
You think?
What you – were you
were you the blue
– Are you the blue guy from –
What if you're the main blue guy and you're like – and you just get nothing off of it. No one cares. No one knows who you are because you're in all makeup. You do an unbelievable job.
I had a great one on my flight from Tampa back to New York. Cameron Diaz was on the flight.
Oh, that's
yeah,
big.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting, yeah.
Yeah. It is exciting.
How'd she look
in real life? She looked froggy as hell, you know.
Hmm.
I mean, she's working out now, so she's got. We're like, how'd you get those guns on board? And I met her arms, you know.
Yeah.
Did she say that? Did you say it?
Yeah, of course. I did. I went up to first class, and I said, hey, Cameron Diaz. Hey, what's with
why are you working out? Why are you riding back in coach? Why aren't you up there?
Yeah, man, I just don't throw away money on that kind of shit.
Yeah. Man, have you rode in first class?
Huh?
Have you rode in first class?
I did. I did. One time I was on my way to the Aspen Comedy Festival in 2005, and they upgraded me to first class. I didn't buy the ticket. They just, you know, hey, guess what? You got first class. So they called first class, and I'm, you know, like, it's the first time I've ever boarded a plane first. And I, you know, thrilled to do it. And I'm walking on the plane, and you know how sometimes you got to kind of duck to get into the plane? Well, I fucking didn't, and I just bang my head against the door when I'm going through. And the flight attendant, like, made a face, and she's like, wow. She goes, I've seen people hit it. I've never seen anybody hit it that hard. It made a loud noise, yeah. So that kind of mitigated my pleasure. But it was great.
Don't you guys feel like you got to enjoy it? Like, the first time I did it was with Voss, and he gets upgraded a lot because he has a bunch of miles. So, and then I got to get upgraded to him. But it was like it was a through-the-night red eye. So, but in my head, I was like, well, I can't sleep. You know, I've got to, like, really enjoy this.
Yeah.
So then I just stay up. The whole next day's ruined because I just want to.
And what'd you stay up doing? Just, like, sitting there? Just, like, this is
a
lot of room.
Beers and you watch TV, and, yeah, it's a lot of room. You just sit there and, like.
They bring you a hot towel.
Yeah, they bring you a hot towel.
They wash your crack.
Yeah, well, all of it. They take a shower. The key is to get international flight. First class, because there you get like a bed.
God, that would be awesome, wouldn't it?
Pat just did a callback to a podcast that we recorded earlier today. So that's.
But here's what I figured. I want to tell you the math on that. I figured you would laugh, Marcus would laugh,
yeah,
and anybody who just hears me randomly ask, you know, Nate, did they wash your crack in first class? That's still pretty funny.
Yeah. So if you want to get that joke. What
Laker,
do we gotta listen to?
Here's the thing. Yeah, you got to listen to Don't Rush Me, I'm High, the Chris Laker episode where he's talking about all the prostitutes that he's had.
Yeah.
He goes to get a prostitute. He goes to the whorehouse, and you lay down on a bed, and it's a rubber bed, and they wash you all over. He says, they wash you everywhere. They wash your crack. They wash everything.
That's
the Pat Dixon impression of me that I heard
people,
was good.
Yeah, it's really not as good as we.
People might get that joke anyway because he's talked a good bit about that here. So.
About getting your crack.
That's all I have. That's the only thing I have to offer the world.
To the table.
Is my experience with prostitutes.
Well, you see that everybody's curious about it. We've never done it. I know Nate's never done that. You would never consider it. I don't care how lonely
Nate,
I am.
Nate's a man of God. So
it always comes
down
to
that's a whole no. Well, this is last week we were when you weren't here. We were a pro-choice podcast. This week we're a Christian podcast. I'm on board with whatever the host is doing. I'm just backing him up.
He just goes.
I'm all pro-choice. Here's the thing. You ever hear these women who talk about being pro-choice and they're like, you stay out of my vagina. They're always talking about their vaginas, these feminists now. That's a big thing. Their vagina.
Yeah.
Stay out of my vagina. No problem. You know? You're taking away my right to choose.
Choose
not to be a whore.
Yeah. I mean, I am kind of to wear a condom or something.
Yeah.
I am kind of like, how many abortions are you getting? Everybody's so upset. I gave a chick a ride once because I liked her, but I didn't. Like I hung out. It wasn't my kid. I did feel kind of like when I was sitting in the waiting room. Like I didn't want to say it wasn't my, because I kind of felt like, hey, I'm the abortion dude. I'm hanging out. I felt like the abortion. You got to feel it.
Well, that'd be where they come there and they're like, so what are you doing here? It's like, I just give people a ride. I'm way on board with abortion. So I tried to pick up people and say, if you need an abortion, call Chris Laker. He'll give you a ride. No judgment.
Well, I think this
could be your thing.
This chick, I think the guy demoned her or whatever, you know, from like Fast Times. Demone doesn't show up.
Oh, man.
I don't know she didn't. For whatever reason, he didn't go. The dude wasn't there. And I, you know. So
did she call you and like say, hey, I gotta, like, just try to say, I just gotta go to the doctor?
This was like in high school. No, she had to get an abortion. And I was like, I'll give her. I thought I could get in good with this chick if I give her a ride to the abortion clinic. It sounded like a good way. Good.
You know, she puts out.
Oh, that's classic.
And I borrowed my mom's.
Comes out from the abortion. You're like, so you want to go hang out or something?
Oh, geez. Well, yeah. I didn't realize they come out like they just went horseback riding for 3 hours. You know, and drugged up. You know, because they're all and.
Yeah, you thought maybe you were gonna get.
But
laid.
Here's the best. I borrow my mom's car and then I pull into the parking lot. There's one person protesting out front of this abortion clinic. One person with a sign, and I pull the parking lot. And as soon as I shut the door, I realized I locked my mom's keys in the car with the car running. I told my mom I was taking my friend to go to the dentist. Because, you know, she's Catholic. She's not going to – she wouldn't be into me, you know, doing that. And so
– did you have to go back in the abortion place and go, hey, do you have a coat hanger?
Wow. The end.
A cop let me in. A cop broke into the car for him. He's like, I'm not supposed to do this, but he was like, let's because he was like, I might actually like. He said to me, there's a chance I'll break the power window. I don't give a shit, dude. Yeah. I could just say I don't know what happened to that, but he broke me in. But
it's the story of your abortion trip.
Yeah, but I'm not anti-abortion, but it is. I'm sick of hearing people complain about it because, like, how many – just fucking take care of your shit.
Yeah. Keep it in place, whatever, you know.
Be reasonable.
You think that it should be against the law?
Yeah. I think it's – yeah, I do. Because I think it just isn't, like – I don't like that, like, you know, when they say it's not a baby, it's like, well, then you don't just have an abortion just to have an abortion. You know, you're not just going, like, I'm going to just go get my annual abortion cleaning. You're doing that because you're going to have a baby. It is going to be a baby. Whatever you want to say, it's not going to be. It's going to be a baby. Like, I know it's like the condom or the, you know, it's like, yeah, that all can be a baby. But that's not, you know, it's not, that's not always going to be a baby. If you go to an abortion, it's because you're to the point where you, if you don't, it's going to be a baby.
Right. And that's why you got to get it done. Because you don't want there to be a baby.
You are killing a living thing. I have no illusions about that.
But that's what they try to go. They try to say.
Yeah, they try to say
in their head,
not,
it's like it's not a living thing, but I think just, it is. It's it, like
you don't think don't, it's a living
I, no,
thing.
No, I don't think they say it's not a living thing. Everybody freely acknowledges that it's a living thing.
They say it before
they
it's a heartbeat.
They say it's not. They say it's not life.
They say it's not life.
Yeah that's the
that's
whole.
That's why it wouldn't
that's
be
the
murder.
Whole,
oh, Christ! I thought they were just like, oh, it's life, but we got to do what we got to do.
No, that's the thing. The arguments.
I can't believe how I didn't get that argument all this time.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So that's ridiculous. But Plan B, you think Plan B is the same thing?
Yeah, I mean,
not that you have to come out one side. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I'm not trying to yawn.
I get it. Like you're doing, like you take a pill or something.
Yeah,
right?
and
I get. I get like what they're doing there. It's like you're trying to stop. You know,
because then you don't even know when you take Plan B. You don't even know if there's a pregnancy.
Yeah,
you're not even sure. It just makes the period come, and you know, it's amazing.
It's like douching with Diet Coke, which is what some of them do too. You know, to try and stop a pregnancy. You ever heard that before?
No.
Yeah, Diet Coke.
It's like raised on the streets right there. It's like,
well, I use a sandwich bag for a condom sometimes.
That's called Plan C. Like they just keep going down the list. Yeah.
I don't really have a plan.
Yeah. We'll just try this route out.
Turkey baster.
Does it have to be Diet Coke?
This is what I heard.
What if you went in there and then they go, oh, it's Diet Pepsi, and you're like,
Jesus Christ, we fucked up. So a lot of people be having kids that are going to grow up to be serial killers, obviously, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, you don't know any, like, you know, you have no idea. I think people got to be responsible. You got to teach responsibility.
So you're talking about reverse engineering morality.
Yeah, it can't be just do whatever you want. It's going to be fixed. It's like, people, I mean, have some responsibility. Like, you know, like, where do they say, like, you know, absence is the only, like, true? And it is. It's like, just don't, you know, it's like, just ways to try to stop, you know, you wear a condom, you do. There's so many things you can do that you can try to avoid having a baby. It's like, if people are just going to have sex constantly, just very unprotected and very...
Don't you wonder about these dumbasses that are just like, yeah, just shoot a load. You know what I mean? Just fuck a girl and just shoot a load at her.
How about, if we're going to get to that point, have the baby and then kill the person and then start new with the baby and go in here. What about that system? If you're going to kill something...
Well, if you're anti-murder, then...
Well, I know, but that people, like, I know people say, like, well, there's dumb people. It's like, not everybody should be having kids, and I get it. Like, it's the... But the problem...
Kill the parent and have an orphan.
Irresponsible people aren't the ones that have abortions. You know what I mean? Irresponsible people just have as many kids as they want and have, you know, shitty kids.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's less responsible. I think sometimes the abortion is the responsible option.
I'm not even disagreeing with abortion. I just don't even want to. I'm thinking about trying to explore it as opposed to argue it in, because we end up in heated fights.
You're right, man.
And it's like, just, you know.
But this is a very good conversation. You know why? Because Giannis is not here.
Let's call him.
We're not calling him. We're staying our ground. Giannis told me to call him. And I texted him, no, Pat Dixon is filling in. Because he's not here.
See, when you say it like that, that kind of, yeah, that's kind of tough.
Well, it's because if he was working, I get that he's got to do stuff. But this is part of his job, the podcast. And we're very irregular on when we get this out, which we need to try to get, you know, try to do it more like on time. And I told him, I was like, when I go out of town, I was like, just do the podcast. Just do it. If I'm not here, it's fine. Just do it, you know. And so Giannis has missed two podcasts because he just is at home. Whatever he's doing, I don't know. I know he's got a big show in May, Morisa. That's already sold out, so I'm sure he's got a lot of work there. Where he's got a show. It's just pretty amazing.
It sold out.
Like 36
show?
Hours.
Where did it sell out? Where is it?
I don't know.
Times Square Art Center.
Jesus.
Yeah. Like 200 tickets.
Well, then
sold
no
out.
Wonder. He's done.
Yeah.
He's done with this shit. He's moved on to better things.
Well, Nate's been bigger than him for a long time.
Nate can't sell out Times Square Arts Center in 36 hours.
Oh, that's true.
I can't do voices either.
Yeah.
Well, that's so. He's got the big YouTube following.
Tell me some other things you can't do.
Some other things I can't do?
Yeah.
Everything. I would say stand-up's about it.
I was about to start saying, like, well, you probably are going to start listing more shit that Giannis does in a sarcastic way. I can't do voices. That's what you're saying. Giannis does voices.
Yeah.
Dress up in a dress. Can you do that?
Hell yeah. I can't dress up in a dress.
Just abandon your dignity. Can you do that? That's the kind of thing I was
saying. You could hump a stool. You don't, but you could.
I could.
Yeah.
Giannis is like an urban Larry the Cable Guy. That's what Giannis is shooting for. He's trying. But Larry the Cable Guy, I think, would at least show up to this podcast if he was a part of it. Giannis's name is first on this podcast, and that's what he did. And this is what he gives to the people.
He's outgrown it, man. He's clearly outgrown it.
He's trying to move on.
Yeah,
he is.
You got to get used to
so,
it.
So I hope you enjoyed Giannis. I know that we had a new listener that said, "I love the podcast with Giannis and those two other dudes." Well, guess what? The other two dudes are here now. Where's your beloved Giannis?
I ran into Danny LaBelle on the street the other day with his girlfriend, the publicist that emailed us.
Yeah.
And they listened to the episode. And he was saying, yeah, I was listening to you guys. And then she said, oh, you mean the Giannis podcast? And he's like, yeah, that's the podcast he's on too. I was like, that's
Giannis
what,
podcast.
The Giannis podcast. That's what people – I've had people – I think I mentioned this before. I had people talk about this podcast like with me standing next to them like I had nothing to do with it.
Unbelievable. We're going to change that.
We're
changing that because we're getting rid of him.
Yeah, because
he promotes it a lot. He's good. He's big on Facebook. and stuff. So Giannis is a big promoter and a big, like, you got to just get your own fan base, which he's doing. He sold out that show in 36 hours. It's pretty amazing.
Now, what do you attribute that to? How the hell did he do that?
I mean,
I know a lot of people are watching this on YouTube, right? But what else?
Yeah. Well, that's it. I mean, I think they're coming there for that. Mm-hmm. And then he's going to, you know, he'll do some of stand-up, but then he's also good. We've been telling him that forever. Like, you need to do – you talk to him about it, which is, like, you need to do some of your characters. Like, when people come see you, just do some of them. Even if it's just the voice. It's like, just do it to kind of give them what they want, and then do your act, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, just embrace it. It's an amazing thing. That's pretty crazy. It's like, Giannis is a guy – Giannis could realistically, I think, could be on Saturday Night Live. Like, you know, people say, oh, you should all do something. But Giannis could really – get it.
Oh, sure.
He's one of the most talented people I've ever seen, because he does, his voices are very different, and they're very, like, the characters he does are, like, they're very, he's two, I mean, a Greek guy and a Puerto Rican, like, those are two completely different things. It's not like some guys you hear, they have, like, four characters, but it's all kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
So, but his are, like, completely two different things. So that's, like, an amazing, I think it's an amazing, you know.
Here's an example of somebody who just does the same four bullshit characters over and over again.
Hey, are you going to do it? You got an example?
No, no. I was asking you. Who's an example of them?
I don't know.
Nate doesn't like to name names.
I don't have examples.
He's got a future in this business.
Yeah.
That's true.
And I can't think of him off the top of my head, because I was dumb before I started.
Well, it'd be I don't want to say, like, this level, but it's like, you know, when people talk about like Adam Sandler, like playing, like he kind of plays the same character during the whole, every movie he does. Mm-hmm. But I'm a big Adam Sandler, but I'm saying that's a, you know, that'd be like an example. Like,
yeah, Giannis is way better than Adam Sandler.
Adam's blown up. Adam's doing really well for himself now.
Well, he made his own fan base.
I think it's going to burn out.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about, I think we're about getting, wrapping up a little bit. Let's talk about the Chris Laker Awards. It's coming out.
Sunday,
next Sunday, April 17th, Bar 4.
Bar 4, you and Giannis hosting, I guess. I thought we were going to discuss it more today, but you know.
But
we got Ted Alexandro coming out, Joe DeRosa. I asked Pat Dixon, but he's going to be in Kentucky. So if you're in Kentucky, go see
Kansas City. Yeah.
Okay. Which is
Stanford's Comedy Club. Yeah. Kansas City, Kansas.
Oh, Kansas City, Kansas.
Yeah.
All right.
It's on the other side.
Yeah. Stanford's Comedy?
Stanford's Comedy Club, and you'll be doing the Laker Awards.
And mention it could be better, and Pat will sign a CD for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Keith and the Girl.
Keith and the Girl. Mention that. You get 2-for-1 tickets.
Oh, okay.
A lot of people go to, fan. Yeah. You got people coming out.
They do come out, and the Keith and the Girl fans are, the problem is a lot of them are in town now for his birthday show, Keith Malley's birthday show. They come from everywhere. Had people recognize me from Australia who come to this thing for his birthday.
That's amazing.
This is podcast shit all over the world, you know.
Yeah.
If you threw a birthday party for yourself,
just comics. Happen.
Yeah, just comics, exactly.
Because I'd make them come.
Yeah. Well, that's what this the Laker Awards is. It's just a big.
It's just a big comics. We're just making fun of every award show.
Yeah, no, it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be a lot of.
What are some of the? Can you give some of the nominations?
I don't know if.
Can we give one?
Well, every comedian I know is nominated for funniest person on the planet and best female comedian.
Those are.
those are the two categories. Yeah. Al, and there's a best comedian non-white.
All right.
Because it is an evening for white men to be honored by one of their own, but we have a non-white category. Because people get all upset. And there's the best sketch group. Best sketch groups is...
People get all upset when you limit it to just white people.
Can Giannis win the non-white comic? Does he get to win?
It's sort of the joke. He's not winning it, but somebody is. And... with best sketch group, the nominations are there's the huge sketch group here in New York City, Murder Fist, and then some other motherfuckers, I guess. I don't know. There's improv. The nominations are nobody. We're all winners because there's going to be no improv. And then we have Biggest Ego, Most Insincere, things that are important in comedy to succeed. You know, these are all tools that we need. And best beard, And then a bunch of other stuff.
What can we give Pat Dixon? So he's not going to be here. An honorary, an award. Can we give him the... I didn't know he did that award. Do you ever get that when people say, like, yeah, you know, Pat did a half hour? They're like, what? I didn't know he did that.
Here's the greatest. When you're about to get introduced and you give, and they're like, what do you want me to say about you? And you go, yeah, a half hour special on Comedy Central. And they haven't seen it or heard of it. Yeah. So they go on stage and go, he's got a half hour special coming out.
Yeah.
I did it.
He's got his own special on Comedy Central. Like, they make it where you really want to be like, hey, don't say that, because I don't even think I have an hour out on comedy. Like, that's what people think.
Oh, right.
Like a Bill Burr, Norm MacDonald just came in. Like, those are
the
your
Patrice
own special.
One,
I hear is great. Yeah.
One of the best things I've ever seen. But I was just rewatching your presents because I wanted my chick to see it. I was watching it. You could go on Netflix. They have all the presents on the streaming Netflix. And Pat Dixon's is on there, and it's very funny.
Thank you. Thanks.
How'd you feel about yours?
I was happy with it in terms of, like, I think the material was okay. I was just saying it, though. The performance was kind of down because I had food poisoning when I did that special.
Really?
I ate some bad rabbit or some bad partridge. I'm not sure which, but I had both the night before.
And, you had rabbit and partridge?
It was a fancy restaurant. I didn't know what to order, you know.
Did they give you a hotel manager and stuff?
Yeah.
You flew up. You weren't here then, right?
No, I wasn't here then. That was 2005 when it was shot.
So you flew up. They put you up at a hotel?
Yeah. My manager was here. He was taking his wife to a fancy restaurant that she wanted to go to, the Gramercy Tavern. I went there. I had a partridge appetizer and a rabbit entree.
And food poisoning.
And then, yeah, the middle of the night.
How tough was it to get through the set?
I mean, it was really bad. They called the doctor. He gave me a B12 injection, and he even suggested that I wear an adult diaper while I was on stage.
Really?
Yeah, which I refused.
You should have done it, because now, how great would that be? He's like, when I did that special, I'm wearing an adult diaper.
You can't tell. I know that story, so I was, like, looking for it when I'm watching, you know, and it was like there was a – you looked a little sweaty, but you just figured that's from the lights.
That's what it was. I look a little sweaty, and that's exactly what it was.
But towards the end, when you would think that would come from, like, the lights or something.
So that night, you just went back to the room?
Went back to the room, was up late, had a cup of coffee. I woke up in the middle of the night just with that feeling. You know the feeling, yeah, about to puke feeling? Yeah. And that was kind of around for a while, and then just on my knees.
So not a good memory for you?
No, not really, no. It's a very vivid memory. I got a massage. We were talking about massages earlier. I called down for a Swedish massage, and I was like, maybe that'll make me feel better.
How did it?
It was all right.
It didn't make you feel. It still didn't.
Not especially, no. It didn't cure.
You need to do something, though. I made you special. It's like you got to go, you know.
I had the doctor came. And,
all out.
Yeah, did my best, you know. But, I mean, it's in the bag, and there it is, you know.
It's a backstory. It's good. Go watch Pat Dixon's special and see if you think he should have wore an adult diaper or not. I really think you should have done it. You could have went out and pulled it out. Shown people.
The thing is,
people would always remember you as the guy that wore the adult diaper.
Yeah, they'd edit that out, I'm pretty sure.
Well, they just leave it in you. You're known for that. Now you got to wear an adult diaper everywhere you go and perform.
I knew I wasn't going to shit my pants, so I didn't worry. You know, I figured I had it under control.
Dude, that would have been.
How about yours? How was your special?
It was an adult diaper worthy, but it was. Mine was good. It was fun. Yeah.
And that one's on iTunes. You get that on iTunes, right?
It's iTunes.
It's like $2.
Mm-hmm.
You got to pay for his?
Yeah.
How much is mine?
Yours is free. Yeah,
oh, mine's free. Oh, okay.
If you have Netflix streaming, you can just watch it.
You did it when you got to pick your background.
Yeah, back when you get to pick your background days. Yeah, mine was a woman was chasing me with a knife in my thing.
Oh, there's a backstory to that, too.
Yeah, it was recently off the murder attempt that I had, and I thought I would commemorate that. Why would I do that? I don't know why.
That's great.
Yeah, it's stupid to do.
And how's your CB's spots going now?
Cause I don't work at CB's.
You have a whole story. Yeah. Pat Dixon was just a girl, right? And someone almost murdered you. I don't know if you can talk about it.
Yeah, I can talk about it. Some girl that I was dating, we broke up, and it was I guess it was a bad breakup for her, and she decided to get revenge.
And she came at you with a knife.
With a gun.
A gun.
A gun, yeah. We did a knife just to have some plausible deniability. I mean, it's not based on her at all, you know.
Yeah. Not at all? The picture? None?
Nah, not really.
Yeah.
It's my life. I figure I can talk about it if I want to.
Did the gun get fired?
It didn't go off, but there was a bullet in the chamber. It was a 9mm Glock, like a police gun.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And she tried to pull it?
She took it out. She said, look, I have a 9mm, and I grabbed her wrist and you know, just sort of forced the gun to the ground and shook it out of her hand. And I picked it up, and she jumped on my back and started swinging. And then we got inside the restaurant. I picked up the gun, so I had the gun in my hand. She was on my back, scratching my face up, and I just went inside and slid the gun across.
What was the restaurant?
The International House of Pancakes.
I like how you called it a restaurant.
I know. I knew it was IHOP. So I,
that's so good.
I feel like when you go to IHOP, no one even bats an eye. They just go, oh, yeah.
That's
table for two.
Was any of that at all arousing? The fact that a woman had a gun and was that passionate about you.
It was not. It was not. You
it
would
was
think
just
it would
scary
be.
As shit.
It was. Yeah. It was like one of the worst things that ever happened to me. But she'd be proud to know that. You know, she wasn't a small girl either. She's like 6 feet tall, 160 pounds.
You like a tall.
Yeah.
Tall
yeah.
Lady. She and I were about the same size.
You like the tall ladies.
I do like the tall ladies. Yeah, I'm a girl I'm seeing now. Tall lady. I've dated a few.
You like it
voters.
So when it's going to be a fight, you know it's going to be a good
it's
fight.
It's going to be a fair fight.
It's
yeah.
be fair. See, when if it does have to come to blows, you won't feel as bad.
The best
like,
part was when
life.
The cops showed up, they said the same thing that so many people have said to me since. They were the first ones to say it. I was filling out a police report. I was about 20 yards away. I was watching them load her into a cop car. Six cop cars, you know, just one of those scenes where the, you know, red light's kind of washing over everything and all the activity's done. My suit's ripped and I'm sitting there just writing and the cop comes up and he's like, what did you do to her?
Oh.
So I said, well.
Being driver to that point.
Yeah, exactly. I was somehow responsible, you know, for like, well, she's a crazy person with a gun. That's what I did to her, you know.
Yeah.
Not to take it to a serious place, but. They're going to edit all this out anyway.
And it is a weird story, though. Can we explain the weirdness of it? We don't have to give the name, but he's...
Nah, you don't want to get into all that. Nah, I mean, I don't want to extend it into the present-day shit. But there is a tentacle of that that's still kind of... It's sort of a thing. But
oh, wow. Can we talk
still,
about that after this?
Oh, yeah.
I want to hear all about it.
You're still
it.
A person away from her right now, technically, right? You're still... It's a weird coincidence.
Not really. Nah.
Not really,
it's
but
all
it's a
said
weird.
And done. We're talking. I mean, keep in mind, this is 8 years ago. You know what I mean? So it's all over and said and done.
But when you came to New York, you thought it'd be done.
It's
you
done.
But you still.
It's done.
No, I just want everybody to know that there's elements to this story that we're going to talk about with each other after this. I always wanted to be on the other side. You ever hear that? Like, oh, we're going to talk about that off air. And then you're like, what the fuck are they saying? Yeah. Now I get to be a
part
of
You get to be
that.
On the other side.
Yeah, that's so much fun. Yeah.
And
so
I'll tell everybody because I'm friends with the four people that listen to this podcast, so we'll call you all individually.
Yeah, that now that's okay. I got no problem with that.
Yeah. Well.
And thanks to your fans out there listening who are tolerating me instead of Giannis. I was happy that I could do this on short notice with zero prep.
Yes, it was great. I was excited.
Yeah.
No, this was
fun. Honestly might not have let Giannis in even if he made up. If he showed up here, I would have been like, you know what? We're good. We're going with the big guns. Professional radio guy. You're regular. You do a lot of – you got how many podcasts?
I got two.
Got two podcasts.
But you've been doing this a lot longer than I have. I'm new.
Yeah, two's a lot. I
but
tried
if
to
you
want to
hear it, the New York City Crime Report, I don't know if it's up on – it is up. And
not on iTunes.
It's not on iTunes yet, but it's on The Creek in the Cave.
No, it's
where is it? Oh.
It is nyccrimereport.wordpress.com.
That was Marcus. He's
and it's downloadable,
Marcus does
right?
His own.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Marcus has a podcast too.
He has
10.
He has 10 podcasts. So, he's busy. So that's good.
He never has his headphones off. Ever.
I know. You're just always at the computer.
Whether he's listening to anything or not.
Are your eyes
going to
be brutal one day because of this computer? You just stare at it like... You should wear glasses.
I do sometimes.
Yeah. They tell you to wear glasses. All right. So, I'm just trying to help everybody out. You know? That's what this podcast is about. All right. We're going to wrap it up. You have one? All right. We're going to wrap this podcast up. Giannis less, so I'm going to try to do as good as I can that what he does. So, everybody, please welcome. I don't know if I'm saying it right. Please welcome to the mic. This is a segment we call Christ with Chris Laker.
Okay. I think I might have said part of this once before a long time ago, but I rewrote it and it's better now. Anyway, so I don't have sex with women my age because I don't have to. I really like an age difference that upsets people. You know, sex is more enjoyable when it's angering a third party. You know, it's like I got friends of mine that are married with families because they're done doing shit. And a buddy of mine was telling me, he's like, oh, 20, be like, oh, a 20-year-old? I couldn't do that. You understand, I have daughters. I was like, I don't have daughters, but I got a young niece. I have mothers. I have a mother, I have grandmothers. You know, everybody has women in their family that were, have been, or are going to be the age of what they fuck. That is not what makes incest awkward. They're like, oh, well, what could you even talk about with a 20-year-old? You have nothing you could talk about. So, yeah, you just update your references. It's not a big deal. So even now, every once in a while, I watch some Nickelodeon because that's going to be useful information in 10 years. Yes, I do remember Max and Ruby. I fucked up the lines, but that's it. Okay, see you guys later.
All right, everybody. This is Chris Laker. Nice segment. He knocks it out of the park here. What's your website? Is it patdixon.com?
Comedian Pat Dixon.
Comedian Pat, was Pat Dixon taken?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, Pat Who Dixon. He's some futurist, I think.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, or some lesbian. I don't know, but
yeah.
There is the patdixon.com is not it. Comedian Pat Dixon.
Comedian Pat Dixon.com. Listen to his podcast. And we're going to tell you, I guess we'll be done with the Laker Awards after this.
Yeah.
So we'll figure out if Giannis is going to be a part of this or not anymore.
April 17th, Bar 4, Sunday. See you guys.
April 17th, Bar 4. Thank you all very much for listening, and we will see you all next time. Bye.
See you.